me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car.
Oh, goodness gracious, goodness gracious. Time goes on.
Hit me with your car.
Time goes on, and I just keep getting older.
Time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking
into the future,
where we take back the streets in the dead of night.
Let's keep on goonin', goonin', goonin'
into the future.
Goon for the people. Can't you see? The FBI is controlling me. They've gotten inside my head, man. They've gotten inside my head and they tell me what to do. I don't have free will anymore.
Yeah, they've gone full imperial on you.
I lost my free will.
But you still got your free willy.
This is a dick out podcast.
As long as you can goon.
Fly me to the goon.
You.
that's all I got today. We should just end it there.
Thanks for tuning in to another installment of Are You Into Bus Stuff, the only comedy podcast about dying in traffic. That's what we got for you today, ladies.
My name
and
is Gunnar
MacGuber. Gentlemen.
What's your...
You were calling me the Gimp, I think.
The Gimp by Gimperoo?
Yeah, no, I'm your auntie Lucas Riley, I think is like the official moniker that was assigned to me by the FBI and the CIA. I've got one FBI agent on my left shoulder and a CIA agent on my right shoulder, and they fight inside my head. What comes out is what is processed by, there's like a DMV clerk who's like, and then those are the signals that get passed through, and that's what you're hearing on the airwaves.
You have a devil on each shoulder.
And a DMV clerk trying to process the conflicting information.
Oh, here, one second, let me put my shirt on.
It is a beautiful day here in Denver, Colorado. It was sort of spring-like today. We had a little bit of snow. We need more, especially in the mountains. And then yesterday was like 90 degrees. It was very, very odd for March. But this morning it's a little bit cooler. I biked down to the rec center and played in my basketball league and dropped my bike off at the shop because it's in dire need of some service. And then I walked home, but I walked home through like beautiful residential Congress Park, Denver, which is just a lovely neighborhood. I got a sandwich at my favorite market, Congress Park Market. And it was lovely, but I'm feeling a little sniffly-liffly. I got some runny nose going on. There's just a lot of flowers and plants that are doing their thing. It is officially spring. This is our first podcast this spring, so I'm sniffling, and I'm happy. It's beautiful out.
You can't tell the people where your favorite market is.
Yeah, I can. Why not?
Because they're going to Sopranos you.
You're right.
It's a gooner army. It's an army of gooners.
Yeah, but they don't want to kill me
yet.
Yeah. I think at some point we will have to abandon the gooner army. We'll have to leave them behind because we'll have like legitimate business to do, and they'll be like, stop.
I refuse. Sign, count me out.
Well, then I guess we'll have to split off. We'll have like competing death map businesses, and you will organize the Gooner Army to whack me.
I think we just give up on death map. I think we just go full-time podcast.
Full-time podcast? I'd rather watch my Rodcast. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm curious, listener.
We just podcast.
We just podcast. I'm
yeah,
curious,
no more death
listener.
Map. We just delete it.
When was the last time a graph did anything for you?
When was the last time you looked at a map, okay?
Only queers look at maps. Only queers look at charts. And yeah, we're queer. And yeah, we're here. And, you know, have we fixed it? Have we fixed it? Have we fixed the problem yet?
Yeah, bro. Honestly, the only map I really use is Google Maps. Can we be real for a second? I made the death map. I don't even use it.
I use the Googly map. I mean, I use the death map when I'm in a new place. Like, or if I'm looking for where I'm going to book, where I'm going to stay in a new place, I look at the death map.
That's a good point. It's like, I don't really use it in my daily life, right? Because I know what's going on. I know what the situation is. But yeah, it'd probably be a pretty good travel resource.
Yeah, I feel like the death map has a ton of utility for end users trying to plan their lives.
I just don't feel like it really meets people where they are.
You can't goon to it.
That's also true. But I was more thinking just like, it should be easier to plan a safe route somewhere. Because right now, when I'm trying to plan a safe route to a place I've never been before, it's like I'm juggling the death map, the Strava heat map, and Google mm-hmm. Maps Street View and satellite imagery. And I'm using those three or four things to kind of try to deduce what the smartest thing to do is.
Which is a lot of work.
It is. And I have like a lot of judgments about, well, okay, like sometimes you can, if there's a fully protected, if there's a sidewalk, then like you can tolerate a little higher traffic or more lanes, right? And you're doing all this calculus and you're like seeing what you're zooming in on Street View and you're seeing what it might be like to like be in that place. And then you're trying to look at patterns of how other people try to travel through a given area. The whole thing's a fucking hassle.
Yeah, I do have
to give
a shout
out.
Death map
is one of the less important parts of that process. It's like,
I agree.
It just gives you like the most major red flags.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have to give a shout out to Bike Streets. They started as Bike Streets Denver, so homegrown Colorado operation. They now have low stress bike maps for, it's like a dozen, maybe more. I haven't looked at it in a minute. Ooh, yeah, they're like up to like 25, it looks like. They've got Denver, they've got Flagstaff, they've got New Haven, Connecticut, they've got Tempe, Arizona. Some of them are like the Denver suburbs, which I think make it more of a complete resource, but these are like community sourced and they often take all that calculation out of like trying to figure out the best route because it's community sourced. And generally I agree with their routes. Like they always recommend riding along, you know, a two-way road with parking on either side that's fairly narrow versus riding on like the gutter lane or the door lane that's like one street over. So I appreciate they take that into consideration. They, you know, drew the Vamos map, which is I think the best plan that we have in Denver to build a complete bike network. And I feel like their maps are really useful. I know last week we looked at the White Line mapping resources. But yeah, if you go to bikestreets.com, you can check out some of these maps, which are particularly oriented to like low stress bike commuting is like their goal.
Yeah, that's cool. Nice shout out. I almost feel like we should we should redact a little bit of how much we shit on that that Dead Kid Foundation. They didn't ask for their kid to be hit by a car.
No, certainly not. And I think we did a really good job last week addressing that while also levying criticisms at the traditional nonprofit structures that exist to try to combat this issue that at least historically have not been very effective.
I mean, it's tough. It's tough to say what is and is not effective, right? Because the proliferation of automobiles as transportation, and it's like ever-increasing use in perpetuity, has given us a sort of an almost constant rate of death. It's kind of hard to... There's a bunch of trends, right? Like the population number go up in that regard. Number of vehicle miles go up.
Cars become slightly safer.
Well, they have. They haven't just gotten slightly safer. They've gotten a lot safer, especially for their occupants.
Right. Well, particularly for their occupants.
Right.
In the last decade or, you know, maybe 20 years, the average vehicle weight has increased, especially with the introduction of electric vehicles. So while those safety enhancements have definitely kept people alive inside of cars, they've probably killed more people outside of cars.
Just lately.
So don't worry. Don't worry, listener.
But the number of car miles also go up. What I'm trying to say is, even if cars themselves, each individual car is safer, right? Just the number of car miles continues to rise. And as a society, we face more and more exposure to this risk over time, just by virtue of more car miles. The problem when it comes to climate change, traffic violence, microplastics in your penis and testicles, It all boils down to the number of vehicle miles traveled in automobiles. If we can just get that number down, we can solve so many problems at once. And so when we have land development policies or parking policies or transportation policies that encourage VMT to go up, we just create more debt and rubber. Man, I was fucking just yesterday I was riding around on my bike, and you know that smell when you're riding in the Texas heat and the it's like a freshly paved road. Mm. That smell.
That smell.
That's cancer. That's
can't
tar.
You smell that smell?
Tar is a carcinogenic byproduct of petroleum refinement, also known as asphalt. And it is what we have covered almost 100% of our right-of-way in. We just decided to tar the earth as transportation infrastructure.
Over and over and over and over again. Now there's like layers and layers and layers of it before you reach earth.
I love America, man. It's a free country, baby. Unless you're like a child who wants to ride a bicycle.
Waymo, I don't care if that boy is in the way. Run him down. I have to get to my happy hour.
Waymo, kill that child.
Waymo, kill Waymo. The boy.
Waiter. Waiter, please.
Yes, yes, how can I help you?
I would like a gorgonzola salad.
Excellent.
Do you serve fajitas?
We don't serve fajitas. This is a Cajun restaurant. We focus more on Cajun cuisine like gumbos and etouffees.
What about Cajun fajitas?
It's not on the menu, but, you know, our chef is very flexible, especially for a customer as loyal as you.
Well, do you have them or don't you? What is this, boudin?
I think you'd love the boudin. I think that would be a great choice. Have you had boudin before? Or I know you typically get the gumbo and the gluten-free gumbo for little Rufus.
I've changed my mind.
Okay. What can I get you?
What can't you get me?
Well, I mean, I can get you. I could maybe bring you a taster, a tester of the.
You're trying my patience, waiter.
Yeah, very well. I you know, I'm here to help.
That's good. That's very good, waiter.
Would you like to sample the boudin? It's a pork-based sausage. It's really, really, really yummy.
I would love your pork sausage, waiter. If you weren't so handsome, I might yell at you.
Ah.
I might scream. Bring me a mimosa. And bring me something for Rufus, non-alcoholic.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll get the mimosa going, and the gluten-free gumbo for Rufus seems to be his favorite, so
no,
I will
no
bring
gumbo
that
for Rufus.
Right
He's on
out.
A diet.
Oh, okay. So maybe just a nice bowl of water for the dog?
That's perfect. He's been looking fat lately.
I want gumbo.
Shut up, Rufus. You whore. Oh goodness. No, I needed that. I had been thinking about that all week.
About bullying the waiter?
I just needed to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you're not really getting it so much in your like day-to-day life, so you gotta like get your quota of service worker abuse somehow.
I abuse every service worker I see. It's your right as an American.
And then
I get out like a $10 bill, like I'm gonna put it in the tip jar, and then I just put it back in my pocket and walk away.
What I usually do is I'll get the 10 or the 20 out, and I'll get it out like I'm going to put it in the tip jar, and then I tear it in half.
Burn it.
Mm-hmm.
Burn it and then put it in the tip jar.
Yeah, the ash. Ash in the tip jar.
I mean, I used to buy weed from this guy in my co-op, and he would... he was telling me, you know how what you used to have to buy weed. I remember... You'd have to go to like a weird guy's house and you'd have to get high with him.
You'd have to hang out.
You'd
yeah,
have to
be,
pretend
be
to
cool.
be his friend for anywhere from 5 minutes to an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And you really had very little way to tell which way it was going to go before you went in there. I know for a fact one time Lucas tried to buy weed in St. Louis and the guy had a gun.
Yeah, that was a little different. That was a little different.
No, so I would buy weed from this guy who sold a lot of different drugs, including like cocaine and psychedelics. Well, where was I going with this?
I don't know. The FBI agent on my left shoulder is saying like, yes, yes, say it, say it, say it, say it. And the CIA agent, for whatever reason, is like, tell him to stop.
Oh, no. He was telling me this story about how when he was in high school, him and his friends would do this thing they called the Starbucks Bandit. Can you just take a guess what that might be?
The Starbucks Bandit. I imagine that they would just run in to the store and take the drinks from the output station.
No, they would run.
Would they poop in the Starbucks?
Run by the window and take the tip jar out of the window and then run away.
Oh, the drive-through window.
Yeah,
I see. I see.
And no, he thought that was really funny, and it is. I mean, let's be real. If you, calling it that is funny,
mm-hmm.
But that's a very not nice thing to do. Yeah. Anyway, he died. Someone killed
him.
Oh.
Someone killed him?
I think someone killed him. Or he OD'd on cocaine.
Yeah.
One or the other. Yeah, man. No, life is good. Life is good.
So I've got a couple of things on my list for this week. The first one is just the terrible, terrible news about someone we once regarded as our boy. And he was unabashedly our boy, one of the great heroes of the United States labor movement, particularly regarding agricultural workers in California, and just making conditions less totally abjectly abhorrent and terrible for folks, you know, throughout the agricultural and industries beyond. He really made an amazing impact as a leader, but he fell from grace this week as several accusations of sexual assault were levied. It's pretty nasty stuff. Not cool. Not cool.
You got the details?
Yeah, so the New York Times launched an investigation and revealed extensive allegations of sexual abuse and rape against Chavez. One of the main victims that has come forward is Dolores Huerta, who is also a civil rights icon and one of the co-founders of United Federation of Workers. She alleged that Chavez had raped her twice in the 1960s, and two women came forward with accounts of being groomed and sexually abused by Chavez in the 70s when they were 13 and 15 years old.
There you go.
Yep, the UFW canceled all Cesar Chavez Day celebrations.
He got canceled. You're telling me he got canceled after the fact. We're getting rid of the day. I mean, it happened to Columbus. It can happen to anybody, right?
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, United Farm Workers, I mean, it's fascinating that it has taken so long to come forward. And I don't know. I haven't gone deep on this. I don't know, you know, what the timing is about. Yeah, big L for, I think, a big labor hero. Very sad. Very sad.
Cesar Chavez. Si se puede. Well, what he meant was si se puede molest those kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Si se puede takes a definitely a different flavor in that context.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Si se puede.
That's a zinger.
Pero no queremos. No se queremos. No,
my girlfriend was saying how you know, there's all sorts of rapists out there, right? And horrible, horrible people. And I just, it's crazy how fast everything turned on like a hero of the labor movement compared to like the president of the United States specifically.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, obviously there's no excusing rape.
Obviously not. And yeah, like maybe I think it's maybe a story of like not centering our history and our movements around individuals, but rather trying to center them around ideas and around movements. But it's just human nature to like center our feelings around people. We, of course, had our Martin Luther King Jr. Day episode earlier this year. And I think we were locked and loaded to have a Cesar Chavez episode, and they canceled that. But we can still have a labor episode. We can still have a Si Se Puede episode. You know what I mean? Because one guy that was very significant did bad stuff doesn't mean that the outcomes of the labor movement are tarnished in any way. Like, I think both can be held at the same time. And we're definitely offbeat. Definitely offbeat with this, but it just felt too important.
I don't know. We're vaguely left.
This is a right-wing podcast. So I think that we should celebrate the decline of a hero of the left. I think that if we do that, I mean, one of the things that we were going to do, and maybe this is the time to do it, is can you run the same sort of numbers on your Cesar Chavez streets that we did for the MLK episode for streets named MLK? I'm sure there's fewer cities that have Cesar Chavez streets, but I know there's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we could. Trying to think, I should get my other computer.
Chicago and San Francisco have already begun removing murals and statues featuring Cesar Chavez.
Yeah, bro, this is crazy. I mean, this is big news. This is big news. Who's next? Who's next? Ben Franklin?
He's a notorious pervert.
Listen, I want you all to know, if you ever try to cancel me, I will find you. I will not be silenced. You'll have to turn me into a vegetable because I am too dumb to yield.
Too dumb to yield.
I say something that we realistically should be canceled for every episode. And yet here we are.
Still editorially independent. Bringing the sweet, sweet, sultry tones of our voices into your ear holes.
The sweet, sexy, sultry podcast. Sultry, slutty little podcast for boy pussy aficionados.
Samuel slammed Sienna with his Silverado.
A sultry little slutty, sexy podcast for stupid, stupid cyclists.
For stupid, slutty cyclists.
Oh, Gooners.
Are you a Gooners. Slutty cyclist? Suck on this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm finding my rhythm, Lucas. I'm finding my rhythm. Sorry, this is getting really experimental. Si se puede. Do you want to be a gooner? Do you want to join the army and take back the streets? Do you want to be a gooner? Do you want to be free, man? Do you want to free your mind? Free your possessions? Free
si
of...
se puede. Si es posible, pero solo repucarando.
Do you want to be free, free, free? Do you want to be free, free, free? Do you want to be free with me? Do you want to goon on TV? Do you want to take back the streets? Do you wanna be?
Si se puede, si es posible, pero solo recuperando las calles.
Bro, this sucks. I mean, there's nothing funny about
Nunca aprovecharse de los niños y las mujeres, pero si se puede,
nothing
recuperando
funny at all.
Las calles. We gotta, we gotta, we gotta, we gotta, we gotta take
That's right.
back.
That's right. Take back. Take back. Take back. Take back. Do you wanna take back? Do you wanna take back?
gonna take back the streets. Take back the streets. I wanna take back the streets. I wanna take back the streets. Take back the streets. I wanna take back the streets. I wanna take back the take back. I wanna take back the streets. Gooners, we have fun on this podcast, but I want to talk about the government for a second. What should your front yard look like? Do you want to step outside to a world covered in tar? Do you want to not leave the house without an armored vehicle? Or do you want to be free? Do you want to read in the park? Take back the streets.
Come on and take them back. Take back the streets. Come on and take them back.
Take back the streets. Come on, Lucas, take back the streets.
Come on and take them back.
Take back the streets.
Come on and take them back now.
Take back the streets. We're gonna take back the streets. We're gonna take back the streets.
We're gonna take them
Everybody
back.
Everybody take back the streets. I'm gonna take back the streets. Come on, Gooners, take
we
back the streets.
We are going to take the streets back
in
one
the dead
day.
Of night.
I suppose so. I don't know. But it's so easy, but the grocery store is 3/4 of a mile away from my house. I need my car.
Yeah, you get that one a lot. You say, well, I think the big ones are, what do you do when it rains? How do you go to the grocery store? He's like, what are you, fucking 7 years old? What do you do when it rains, pussy?
What do you do when it rains?
It's the only appropriate answer.
Do you cower? Do you hide? Do you stay dry at every measure? Will you melt if you get wet? Are you the Wicked Witch of the West? You won't, listener. You will not melt in the rain. And you might get wet. And we need to build a connected network of bikeable and walkable streets that are safe and that our grandmas can ride on. I 100% stand behind that. But the only way to get there in the meantime, while we have to tackle the cultural problem of what do you do when it rains? For those that are completely able-bodied and just cucked by the car lobby and the drunk driving-based economy, someone has to lead the way. And it is, unfortunately, lesbians with beautiful calves and dancers that can kick their face, that can pedal that bike as hard as they can. It is able-bodied, sexy, queer people that are going to lead this revolution.
Hey, people with disabilities can ride bikes.
Absolutely. But there are places where it becomes much more difficult. There's places in my neighborhood where you've got to be able to fucking hop up on the curb. And I know disabled people can do that. I mean, not every disabled person is, going to face the same challenges as others. But I'm saying that in the places where it is the most challenging and where the problems are the most visible and pervasive, like, I think that there's a responsibility of able-bodied people towards folks that have other obstacles to highlight these things and show that it's not good enough to overcome them and then highlight that they're not good enough to the government and any other powers that be so that we can change it, so that we can make it possible for every single person to get out on their bikes and go to the grocery store, rain or shine.
Yeah. You see a lot of people in wheelchairs, other mobility aids using bicycle infrastructure. And it's never really an inconvenience for the cyclist. Or rather, it's very rarely inconvenient. Like, it's pretty functional space. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
because
it's people. It's on the scale of human beings.
Jogging in the bike lane. Like, it's not a huge deal. And you see, and it's generally, it's like, it just keeps things much more accessible generally.
Yeah.
Which you can see in a heartbeat if you live in the city.
When it's human scale infrastructure, right? So, like, if there's a human being in the way and you're booking it, you're late to work and you're booking it on your bike as fast as you can, like, you can get around them without killing you and or them pretty easily, whereas with car scale infrastructure, machine scale infrastructure, that's just not true. If you're distracted and driving too fast and someone, a human being, regardless of their level of ability, is in your way, you're probably going to kill him if you're unable to stop in time, right? And even if there is a collision in the bike lane with someone in a wheelchair that, you know, maybe comes out of an alley into a bike lane and you don't see him, you know, you swerve out of the way, scrape up your knee, maybe you break your wrist, but you haven't ended a life.
That's my goal. Yeah. Drive my car.
Ooh, I can hear that.
Take your life.
Yeah, that I heard loud and clear.
Really?
Maybe if you sing.
Drive my car and take your life. I wanna hit you with my car.
Maybe if you sing the same notes that you play, it works for some reason.
Okay. Oh, no, that makes sense, though. Google is censoring me.
I wanted to highlight the other thing on my list here. I wanted to highlight there was a new comment that came into roadway.report/comments. It was an event that happened in Manhattan, actually, in Central Park. And it reads, I was a nanny at the time, and I had my little girl who was about 10 with me. We were standing at the bus stop waiting for a bus to come, and I heard a scream. And turned and looked, and it was the best friend of the girl who was screaming. So I saw her first, and then the impact happened. And this girl, they had gotten bikes out of the bottom of Central Park, and they were getting them up to get into Central Park, and they were in the bike lane. But apparently there was a private sector dump truck, and it just came barreling through there and sideswiped her. She was lying on the ground and had fallen feet from me. I called 911. I just remember, I don't know how graphic I should get here, but I remember there was just like jelly around her eyes and some of them across the way, and an apartment building came over with an EKG. There may have been brain damage. I read an article later that she had passed. And then there's also a link to the New York City Streets blog report on the incident. So I just wanted to highlight another comment that came in on roadway.report/comments. Another heartbreaking incident, just people trying to ride their bikes through the park, and a transportation system that allowed a trash truck or a dump truck to carry enough speed and enough kinetic energy to completely turn this person's brain into jelly on the sidewalk.
A 10-year-old girl, mind you, right?
No. I think the commenter was a nanny, so the commenter had a 10-year-old girl with her. This was an adult woman that died.
Okay. Turned to jelly.
Yeah, but I mean, that 10-year-old girl is probably never going to get on a bicycle.
I want to see all cyclists die.
I want to see the jelly leaking out from their brain.
You turn a lady into jelly in the streets of Manhattan. Oh, yeah. Here at Roadway Report, we make $1 for every roadway fatality caused by a motor vehicle in transit. So when a lady dies on the streets of New York City, we crack open an ice cold beer.
And we wish badly, listener, that we made money for the level of brutality in the incident, but unfortunately it's only mass casualty events where we make more than $1. So if you really want to help us out, you know what to do. I don't know if I could say that.
Gooners, fly me to the goo.
Let me goon among the stars.
Fly me to the goon is good. That's good. We got to hold on to that one. We got to develop it. I don't know. I'm loving the sound of that pad, but I need something a little more responsive. Damn, that's nasty. I do have news.
Yep, we've got news from how the government is trying to keep us from taking back the streets.
Here. Georgia. Georgia. Give us all your car crash data. Ooh, doo, 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 doo. No, the state of Georgia appears to have denied our request for their car crash database.
Boo.
I guess I should pull it up. This fucking annoyed the shit out of me. I fucking hate them. Fuck the whole, the title of this podcast is going to be called Fuck the Whole Ass State of Georgia. Do you think that's appropriate?
No, there's a lot of good people in Georgia.
Fuck the whole state of, no, just fuck the Georgia Transportation Department. All right, so here's, okay, original email. To whom it may concern, I would like to request a copy of your crash database. It will be used to publish injury death maps, similar to those found at roadway.report/New York or roadway.report/California. I tried to download the pertinent data from the public dashboard, but the CSV export functionality of the Tableau dashboard has a bug, and I can't actually download any spreadsheets. I don't need a copy of the whole database, but
yeah,
other DOTs
vehicles,
have
persons.
Found it simpler to just send me a SQL dump of the whole thing. I will only publish certain fields, detailed below. I just list all the stuff that I need. These tables can be filtered down to only include crashes involving at least one person who is killed or severely injured. I do, however, want to include uninjured person/vehicle records that are involved in fatal severe crashes. Let me know if you have any questions or need any additional information from me. So I send that, and then 45 days later, they send an email to me saying, we require you to complete this form along with written documentation to explain the purpose and use of the data. Your application will be reviewed to see if it meets need as per Georgia Code 50-18-72. So I fill out the fucking form like maybe 2 weeks after that. And I send them like a fucking ChatGPT letter, basically just explaining which section of that code I do qualify under. Basically saying, we're just doing traffic safety research. And we want like data with personal information redacted. That's kind of all the letter says.
Boo.
And then they say, we regret to inform you that after review, your request for crash data doesn't meet the requirements set forth by Georgia Code 50-18-72. To which I respond,
can you elaborate on why we fail to qualify under this section? Section 5J reads, is conducting research in the public interest for such purposes as accident prevention, prevention of injuries or damages in accidents, determination of fault in accidents, or other similar purposes. Seems fairly cut and dry. Ben.
That's what I said. You know, because it does. I mean, it's pretty clear what we do. It's not super hard to understand. And then so I said like, hey, why don't we qualify under this? And then the response just says, having reviewed your website, the data you request at the level you present is available from the NHTSA FARS. And so I got to say, which first of all, doesn't fucking answer my fucking question.
No,
you stupid
not
piece
at
of shit.
All.
Go fuck yourself, Georgia. God, that definitely pissed me off. So I just responded, I'm requesting data that's both in and not in FARS. Specifically, I can't garner serious injury crashes from the NHTSA. And then I say, if you look at roadway.report/Texas, you can see a map which includes all serious collisions, not just fatal accident data. We are working through each state. Georgia will be the largest state to deny their citizens the privilege of this data. So, yeah, man, Georgia sucks. It's a fake state. Don't go there. Don't talk to people from there. Realistically, though, it's like it's a black state and their government fucking sucks because they hate black people.
I'm just looking at their website, the Georgia Department of Transportation, to see what resources they have for these sorts of data tools. Police crash.
Georgia.
So this is why, Ben. Police crash reports are available through BuyCrash, What the fuck is buy crash? Crash reports can be purchased directly via the buy crash website or by mailing a request. And I'm sure these are individual data records that folks are getting after for litigation purposes, mostly, probably. But they don't want you to have this out there because then folks would be able to bypass their partner, their business partner here, that they have contracted with to sell these records. I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
You gotta take advantage of black people wherever you can. First things first, if I know one thing about doing business in America, you gotta take advantage of black people wherever you can.
And it's LexisNexis. LexisNexis is they are the folks that have buy crash. I my breath dropped. I'm a little hot on buy crash. This is public information. We have a right to access the data regarding our state and federally provided, our government provided transportation systems, anything that's provided publicly. We have a right to understand how it functions, and we have a right to audit it and call it out when it's wrong. We should never have to pay for this information. We should never have to fight for this information. And that's what we're doing at Roadway Report, is we are trying to make that information accessible. And we only make a dollar every time someone dies on the map, so it's not like it's really big business. I think Ben mentioned there's about $40,000 a year for us to split, right?
Right. So we each live on a meager salary of $20,000 a year. So if you can start drinking and driving, if you can start driving while sleep deprived, driving a larger car, driving faster, stopping at less stop signs, even if you just drive right at someone, we thank you. We thank you.
You can
put your life on the line.
You can
for
create
us.
A buy crash monthly account as a corporate member, and then like get reports monthly for a monthly subscription fee. This is
honestly, they can do whatever they want, man. Like,
it's
I don't fucking care. It's a
sick.
Shitty state.
It is
bullshit it's, state. No, I mean it's sad. It's really sad.
It's sad that they've chosen to partner with a technology company that has decided to turn this public information into a revenue source. That's sad.
Fuck it, dude. Fuck it.
This is the only recourse that we have is to hold hands in the dead of night and take back
and
the streets on Christmas
take
Eve.
Take back the streets. Dicks out.
Pussies out. Holes a-blowing in the breeze.
Face down, ass up, streets back.
Face down, ass up, streets back. I feel like that's a new rule. We should add that to the list.
Take back the streets. Take back the streets. Take back the streets. Do you wanna take back the streets? Gooners! Okay, I got it. Gooners. Gooners. Do you wanna take back the streets? Do you wanna go with me? Do you wanna truly be free? Do you wanna take back the streets? 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 Georgia! 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 Why don't you wanna be free, Georgia? Why don't you wanna give me, Georgia, all your crash records, please, Georgia? What do you got?
The RTD, the Regional Transportation District, and remember, folks, you can't spell without RTD. They are running about a 250 or 215. I've seen a couple different reports. They're running a deficit of over $200 million, largely because of the withholding of federal funding that they were kind of expecting. Sales and ridership revenues continue to increase modestly, but operating costs have skyrocketed. Between, you know, the investment in real, you know, important projects like the Colfax BRT line and running more buses on certain routes, there's some things that RTD does that I really, you know, I mean, it's hard work. I don't want to hate on them without couching it a little bit. However, you know, one of the big things that a lot of local reporting has called out that I think is very salient is that the structure of the RTD has become extremely top-heavy. There's a lot of white-collar workers that work for the transportation district that, you know, there's like a ton of different directors for each part of the region, and I'm sure that helps in an ideal world bring, you know, a sense of balance to a regional district that contains not only service for Denver, but really the whole metro and beyond. And it's frustrating because they're talking about decreasing service and canceling routes when, at this time, when we are facing a budget crisis due to the feds, you know, turning into fascist weirdos, like face mask off fascist weirdos instead of like the fascist weirdos, you know, with a Black Lives Matter tattoo. It's just really disappointing that it looks like they're going to be decreasing service as the solution to this problem when, you know, about almost $500 million of their $1.5 million budget are salaries, and a really sizable portion of those are high-end, white-collar workers. And, you know, I don't want anyone to lose their job, but I want the buses to keep running, and it's a really sad state of affairs when we rely on our governments to provide these basic services, but we do not dedicate the necessary resources to keep these services up and running. And so in a time when, you know, the feds are taking your tax money and using it to bomb innocent people and schools and hospitals, we can't use some of that money to like run the bus and pay for Jimmy to be the RTD regional director so that Broomfield has a say in transportation development. It's a microcosm of a bigger scheme to take our money and keep us down. And I just hope that we don't see too much service reduction, and I'm interested to see what RTD does. It's a snafu, and it's kind of hard to do, and I think that what RTD does is really crucial for like setting the direction for the next 10 years. I hope they don't just gut service and keep paying everyone, but I don't know what to do, so.
Don't take away our buses.
Is there any talk
don't
of this in Austin?
Our trains.
I'm sure there's federal subsidies that are not coming through. I know this is happening in a lot of metros.
I don't know of any recent service cuts. I don't know of any shit we haven't already gotten rid of. You can't fucking use it at all. It's just a piece of shit, so I don't even fucking know, cause it's not a part of my life anymore. Fuck you, Cap Metro.
I'll just ride my bike.
I'd rather shoot myself than take your stupid fucking bus, you stupid piece of shit. I don't wanna fucking sit there and wait for a schedule every fucking time I fucking go anywhere. Okay.
30-minute headways are not appropriate.
Austin doesn't have any like particular budget shortfalls as of late, so I was aware. I know Seattle's having sort of a come-to-Jesus moment. I think they have some like funding shortfalls for their capital planning.
The city, the whole city. I mean, Denver, the city of Denver is also in the same position where there's a huge deficit and they've got to figure it out. Probably just borrow more money.
Okay, so I will say it's Sound Transit, not King County Metro. So this is the like commuter rail
right,
kind of thing.
The regional services.
Yeah. $33 billion shortfall. No, I mean, Cap Metro, like 5 or 6 years ago, I went into their offices and I took a bunch of pictures of all their old maps.
And you got dragged out in handcuffs?
No. So I just submitted an information request, and they sent me all their digitized maps, but they had more that they only had analog records of. So I went in there, and I digitized some of their oldest transit maps.
Oh, my God.
And it turns out that the fucking system has just shrunk over the years. It used to be... Like the network used to sort of make sense, right? And then over time, like, routes get consolidated and shortened and just piece by piece by piece, to where the difference between when the agency was founded in 1985 and today, it's like it went from a network that made sense based on, like, where people are and where they need to go, and into, like, a sort of piecemeal nightmare, a sort of humiliation ritual for working people.
Yeah, and I mean, and it makes sense that then they wouldn't be facing a budget shortfall, because they have been decreasing their operating costs over the last number of decades, right? And, you know, Denver, to their credit, the Front Range metro region, to their credit, has been increasing service and building new lines and introducing new services. And now that they are no longer able to continue the rate of growth that they have set, they have to figure out what to do. So, I mean, credit to them.
Like, I'm looking at Cap Metro and Transit Observer right now. And so the red line is still not doing the numbers from before the pandemic. That is concerning. Right? Like, I'm sure if you looked at bus, the recovery would probably be closer. There's a little more recent data under pandemic recovery, and it looks like it's getting there. I mean, they opened a new station right by the soccer stadium, and that has padded their stats.
Yeah, no, I mean, in Denver, we have not seen a return to pre-pandemic numbers. We were seeing a little over 1%, and now it really hasn't bounced back from, like, 0.6%.
I want to draw attention to something. So the city ran 12... Okay, in 1997... the city ran 12 million bus miles. In 2024, the city ran 15 million bus miles. So what is that? That is what, a 25% increase? 1997 to 2024? 1997, so then we were spending 112 million, and now we're spending 318. So yeah, it's like 180% increase in bus operating expenditure, and it's a 25% increase in bus miles. So the unit economics of running the bus have gotten worse, and I feel like transit agencies will tell you that, right? They're like, well, things are more expensive than they used to be. Labor's more expensive, supplies, all that good stuff.
Right, because our entire drunk driving based economy is built to make those things more expensive.
Okay, let's pull up the RTD, I guess. What does RTD stand for?
Regional Transportation District. Yeah, the search drop-downs.
Doesn't seem to work very well, does it?
It's hard. Yeah, it would be nice if the filter by city and filter by state refined the filter by transit agencies. And for those following along at home, we are at transit.observer, transit.observer.
Oh, Denver RTD. There we go, baby. Wow, yeah, you guys haven't recovered from the pandemic either.
No, like 60%, 60% basically.
It's interesting that the number of passenger miles is now almost even between the bus and rail, whereas before it's like it was almost a 2-for-1.
Yeah, bus to rail ratio.
That's a pretty good, I mean, the only cities in America where there's more train miles than bus miles are what?
But yeah, no, I mean, that's what the RTD does well. And the RTD is, you know, it's interesting. It's not the city of Denver, right? It is the whole regional transportation network for the most part. It's nice that it is consolidated under a single authority. And I think that it does testify to the fact that they have invested and had success at building the passenger rail network, the commuter rail network. It is a regional rail network. Folks getting around Denver proper are, by and large, you know, I would say probably 8 trips out of 10 are going to happen on the bus. There's a few lines that you can, you know, take. And, you know, a lot of times a trip requires a train connection and a bus connection. That's my experience. Is usually the fastest way to get all the way across town is to take a bus to the train, or take a train and then you have to catch another bus. So it's either bus, train, bus, or train, bus, or bus, train, depending on where you're going. But, you know, the suburban cities that are a part of the RTD benefit from the rail service because it makes it easier to get into the city without a car. And we have a lot of entertainment and culture in the center city where, you know, the downtown stops all converge. So it does work well for the, it is a pretty good hub and spoke regional rail system as far as those go. I just wish the buses ran more frequently in a city that claims to care about the environment.
I'm looking at vehicle miles. They definitely cut bus miles with the pandemic. Train miles stayed more constant, or probably just because of new infrastructure. Yeah, I mean, the story is kind of similar here. I mean, there's more funding in Denver, but it does look like just vehicle miles all around have gotten more expensive, adjusted for inflation. I will say, if you look at directional route miles, has gone down, right? So the people discuss it as sort of this service to coverage continuum. The word on the street, I guess, is that it's hip to run less routes more frequently. And that's what the cool kids are doing. And so it appears that Denver is sort of taking that. I want to look at Austin. But if you go under the service tab, you can see the directional route miles has gone down, right? Even as they introduce more
and
routes.
Directional route miles meaning what? I don't understand what that means.
So let's just say you have like three bus routes. The distance it takes for a bus to drive from one end to the other and back, all that is directional route miles. So you sum that up for all your routes. Right. But so gotcha. if Denver has over 30 years, 50% increase in vehicle miles, but a 30% reduction in directional route miles, it means they're running more service on less routes. Mm-hmm. Whereas Austin is running the same amount of service on less routes.
No ferry miles in Denver. We got to get a ferry. Sloan's Lake Ferry. That'd be good. That's what they used to call me.
What pisses me off about Austin is like they're spending three, four times as much money as they used to, and the ridership is down in the past 30 years, and they outsourced everybody's wages to the largest private transportation company in America. But don't get me started.
Yep.
DRM. Show me those DRM.
Yeah, no, I mean, we were trending in the right direction for passenger miles. I mean,
Holy shit, it looks like
it was exceeding population growth.
In 2002, Austin had 2,200 directional route miles. In 2024, they had 1,200. So for every mile of bus route that existed in 2002, there's roughly half of a bus route. We have half of the bus routes that we had just 20 years ago.
Oof-da. And consider that this is a city that is marketed and prides itself on how much it has grown in the last 20 years, 25 years, and how, you know, urban it is. You know, and they built a lot of dense housing, you know, in the center parts of the city and knocked down a bunch of old, you know, cultural touchstones in, you know, Hispanic community and Black community and queer community, and built a bunch of apartment buildings. But they are providing half of the bus service that they were, even though the population has, what, doubled since 2002?
Tripled, quadrupled? Who fucking knows? Dude, podcasters alone make up 60% of the city.
Exactly. And there were zero podcasters in 2002.
I hate this fucking town, man.
It loves you.
So hold up. Georgia. So Georgia's not giving us the data. Georgia is the largest state to tell us no. I think Ohio basically told us to fuck off.
Did they just not respond?
No, there's only 5 years of data for Ohio. So it's just less useful to publish that map. I should probably still do it.
Why is there only 5 years of data?
Because they only have to publish so much because they're fucking dickheads.
And then they just throw it out.
Georgia's off the list. Ohio is like, maybe hold off for now. I got to look into North Carolina, Michigan, North Carolina, New Jersey, Virginia, Washington, Arizona. I want to do Washington because my family's there and I love it, but...
Yeah, you should do Washington.
Nah, we gotta... We help more people. There's like 4 million more people who would benefit from us doing like North Carolina. Yeah, man, this sucks. So yeah, fuck Georgia. You can tell them, if you don't mind, just write the Georgia DOT. Tell them that Rotary Airport is the best thing you've ever seen and you'd love to be able to you miss your dead mom and you want to be able to click around on the death map.
And not even the death map, the injury map.
Gooners, the government wants to cover your world in tar. They want to put you in a cage and they want to run you into a wall, baby. But you're not going to let them. You're going to stand up. You're going to go outside. And you're going to say, government, you can't tell me what to do. This is America. And in America, we're free, baby. We're free.
Amen.
Really, for real, fuck the government. Fuck the feds. Fuck the State Department of Transportation. Fuck the local Department of Transportation. Fuck Hillary Clinton.
Fuck Lauren Boebert. The CIA agent.
Fuck Kathy Tovo.
More like the CIA gay. But yeah, no, the agent on my left shoulder and the agent on my right shoulder are making out. They are touching each other. And they're letting me say whatever I want. So yeah, I echo what Ben shared there. That's your big daddy, Ben Carnero, coming at you hot from the podcasting capital of the world, Austin, Texas. I'm your auntie, Lucas Riley, coming at you from Denver, Colorado. And we're grateful that you tuned in for another installment of Are You Into Bus Stuff, the only comedy podcast about dying in traffic. If you want to, tell us what to do, we will probably do it. So send us an email, go interact with the site. Share the podcast with your friends, and whatever you do, look both ways, take care of yourself, hug your loved ones, and be safe out there.
Speaking of look both ways, I invited the hosts of that podcast on, and we'll see if they come on, but I'm manifesting. They're like professionals.
Well, they may be professional in some capacity. We're professional podcasters.
Right, so I think that they do have more listeners than us. And they have
MIT, that's not a sign of anything.
And we're trying to invite them on the Gooncast.
Yeah.
I think
there's no other place they ought to be.
What's more universal than masturbating, to be honest? Like, that's what sucks about being the leader of the Gooner Army. We all do it. Like, what's wrong with having a goon?
Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car, baby.